So now I want to go forward. So that was by way of Hachna'a and Havdalah. So now what remains is this idea of Hamtaka. Again, what does Hamtaka mean, sweetening? So to put it in the words of the Baal Shem Tov model, right, once we've, so to speak, rectified the parts of ourselves that need rectifying, right, we've subdued our ego and we've designated this alone time where we can allow our soul, our true self to come out, and in so doing, we've rectified ourselves, our soul, our thoughts, and we've purified ourselves. And now, Hamtaka, now I want to go forward. Now, Hamtaka is this stage of sweetening, which Rav Ginsburg describes as like a unifying effect, a perfecting itself. It's going forward in the most powerful way. And the aspect of speech that I want to draw out tonight is that we have this unbelievable, I want to call it almost an atomic koach inside of ourselves that I think most of us, at least certainly I was completely oblivious to until I really started researching this in depth, that as any atomic power, right, the mashal is a good one, you can either light up a city with or you can destroy a city with, right? And it's all based on our free will. So the sweetness of speech, as we're going to come to see and I hope to bring out, is this idea of just going forward in an unbelievably power, self-actualizing, empowering, like unbelievable forward motion way. Okay, so that's where we're going to go going forward. Now, everything that, yeah, go ahead.
Hi, it's Shoshana. Yeah, I didn't realize I was on mute before. They couldn't hear me ask you something.
Okay, go ahead.
The first source that you mentioned was Rav Pinkus.
Right.
I don't have the sefer in front of me, but you said that thought is what connects us to Hashem.
Right. Well, he's quoting from the Rambam.
Is that so? And then the Bilvavi says, but it won't go anywhere unless you put it connected through anchor it with deeper.
The speech is what exactly. In other words, it's not enough to just think about Hashem in our head. We have to, the speech is what gives tokus, is what gives substance.
So is that what Rav Pinkus says also?
Say again?
Does Rav Pinkus say that also, or he just stays with the thought?
He doesn't, in this particular part that I'm quoting from, he does not relate it to speech specifically. But what we saw when, you know, bring it back to the Chavos Levavos where he talks about, right, well, we brought the source how speech is what influences our thoughts, and then what the Gra, right, remember the Vilna Gaon said, if you want to really understand something, you have to speak it out with your mouth. And then what Rabbi Nachman, that whole beautiful Zohar that he brought, that, you know, saying something out loud is what, so to speak, shakes up our head, the membranes in our head, which opens up our hearts. So the model that I am presenting is this idea of speech, which then impacts our thinking, which then impacts our emotions.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
But the starting point as far as getting a handle on it is speech. I mean, we have thoughts that fly in and out of our head all day long. Right? But if you want to get a handle on your thoughts, you want to focus your thoughts, you want to direct them in a particular way and, so to speak, grab hold of them, so that has to be anchored through speech. That's what we're trying to bring out.
All right.
Otherwise, they're just too fleeting. It's too nebulous, I guess, is the way to say it. Yeah?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good? Okay.
Okay, thanks.
So everything we've set up until now, right, is we've been talking about a devekus that comes from feeling close to Hashem by feeling God's love. And what I want to talk about tonight, and I mentioned this last week when I brought you the source from Rabbi Aaron, David Aaron, is another level of devekus that comes not just from feeling God's love, but from being God-like, okay? And that's this whole idea of emulating Hashem. And as what I'm quoting to you now is from a shir from Rav Weinberger, and he is bringing a shir, the beautiful series Rav Weinberger has on Bilvavi, on Nisul Sisharim. So if anybody goes to Rav Weinberger's site and goes to, you know, he has all of the Bilvavi works on there, which he translates beautifully into English, and then he has a particular series where the Bilvavi is commenting on Nisul Sisharim. Very powerful. So in this particular shir, he's describing there's two types of devekus, and I think I mentioned this last week. know, the form of Vivekas that we're all striving towards. And, you know, again, you can spend your whole life just getting to this form of Vivekas, which is to have this feeling of I'm in Hashem's presence. We see Hashem Lanegdi Tami, that Hashem is right here beside me. Hashem is right here, right now. And just to, when if we can access that feeling and that consciousness, like, wow, like, that's an incredibly powerful form of Vivekas. And again, I'm not belittling that in any way, but we want to go for the gold Vivekas, right? You know, at least know what is the gold Vivekas. And the gold Vivekas, as Rav Weinberger points out, is this Vivekas that comes through emulating Hashem, right, through being godlike. And so he's going to, what Rav Weinberger does, he quotes from us, there's a famous Gemara where it talks about, I'm just going to read to you now, again, I transcribed from the shir itself, so he says the following. Kamash Amru Chazal, Dvekas Inyano Have Domelo, right? Have Domelo, right? This Inyan of Dvekas is this idea of Have Domelo, of emulating Hashem, of being like Hashem. And then he brings the Gemara, right? Mahu Lo Ata Hanun, right? That's the famous idea of as Hashem, sorry, Mahu Hanun Af Ata Hanun, right? Just as Hashem is all merciful, so too we should be all merciful. And, you know, if anybody's ever learned the work Talmud Devora by the Ramat of Moshe Cordovero, it's a very powerful source where he just goes through all of the midos and all the spheros and all of the myriad of ways, right, that Hashem reveals to us who he is, you know, with regards to these midos. And if you think about it, you know, every time we exhibit patience, right, with our husbands, with our children, with our neighbors, with our employees, with our employers, right, and then we're admonish emulating Hashem, right? You know, sometimes, like, the way my kids test me, and if I can just pull back for a moment and try to treat them and act with patience with them, and then I think, gosh, you know, Hashem, he's just so... He's so patient with me, and he's so all, you know, long-suffering and just puts up with me. And so the least I can do is, you know, try to emulate that and be the same for my children. And every time we do that, we're fulfilling a positive mitzvah, right? It says in Devarim, O bo tidbak, right? The actual mitzvah is bo tidbak, right? And him you shall attach, be dovek. Right? And what Rav Weinberger points out is every time you do, say, an act of chesed or you're showing rachamim, you're being patient, so you get double mitzvah points. You get a mitzvah for actually whatever mitzvah that you're doing, and you get an additional mitzvah of fulfilling this positive commandment of emulating Hashem. Okay, is that clear? So, you know, whatever act you're doing, you're getting double points, whether you're emulating Hashem, whether you're whatever, however, in any way. I can give so many myriads of examples, but any time you're doing a chesed, any time you're helping someone, any time you're holding back your temper, your frustration, you're not just fulfilling a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, but you're fulfilling a mitzvah ben adam l'makom. You're also emulating Hashem in that moment. Yeah, and Rav Weinberger concludes, he says, true devekis can only be achieved by our efforts to resemble a Kadosh Baruch Hu as much as possible. Yeah, and the Ramchal, if anyone's ever learned Derech Hashem, Das Tevunos also talks about this, right, the way of God. Well, he says, and I want to go through it right now, but if you just read any of the first, I think it's the first three chapters in Derech Hashem, he goes through this in tremendous detail, that the more we resemble Hashem, the more we feel the Vekas. Right, and I'll just quote very quickly. Klomar ha'adam tzrich kiviyachol v'damot et atzmo v'ma'asav l'boro. Right, so what does that mean? A person must kiviyachol, so to speak, l'damot, resemble himself in his maisav and his actions l'boro, to his creator. So to the greatest degree possible that we can imitate Hashem, we can experience this, so to speak, I'm calling it gold Vivekas, right? And I want to just give a very simple example of this, right? I remember, you know, when I first became a mother, and this idea again, why is it? What is the dynamics of the more I'm like Hashem, the closer to Hashem I'll feel? So I just remember, and it was my own experience, and I'm sure you can all relate to this in your own way. When I first became a mother, I connected to my mother, like, in so much more of a real way. Like, I understood her so much more. The more I became like my mother, and that I knew what it meant now to be a mother, right? So I just understood her more. I appreciated more. I knew my mother more because now I was also emulating her in her motherliness, right? So I'm sure we could think of other examples, but that's just one that came to my mind. Okay, so now, what does all this have to do with speech? Yeah, clear? Any questions on that? So what we want to show tonight is how our speech is just the most awesome way that we have at our disposal to emulate Hashem. So how is that? So again, going back to the Zohar, to the creation of the first human being, right? God blows into man, right? The breath of Hashem, Nishmat Chaim, and we said man became a Nefesh Chaya, which Uncle has translated for us as a speaking spirit. And what we said is, to the degree like Hashem breathes into us, and we say every moment is an act of creation. This is not just a one-time thing. So Hashem breathes into us, right? The breath of life. There's this breath of Hashemness, so to speak, inside of us. And as we saw from the Nefesh HaChaim last week, when I speak, right now I'm speaking, and in my speaking, I'm, so to speak, breathing back. There's like this breath circuit, right, that's going on. And when I'm breathing back, so Hashem is, she's breathing into me, and my speech is, I'm breathing back, and when I'm speaking, so what's coming out of my mouth is literally this breath of Hashem. Because what did Uncle Liz say? That this Hashem breathing into us, this soul, this Nishmat Chaim, is what activates within us the power to speak. Right? Man became transformed into a speaking spirit. So our ability to speak is defined by our ability to, so to speak, blow back, right? And that when we speak, we're touching upon our most godlike capacity. Because, again, we're coming in direct contact with this kiviyachol breath of Hashem, right? And we saw the Zohar where it says, Chalek Elokai Mimal, that when Hashem blew into Adam, he blew in a part of his essence. And the Baal HaTanya adds, Chalek Elokai Mimal Mamish. Like, there's Mamish, this, however we understand it. I don't understand the Kabbalah. I can't try to describe it, but I'll just quote what the Zohar is saying, that there's this Hashemness inside of me. And somehow when I speak, I am accessing this breath of Hashem inside of myself. Yeah? Does that make sense? So, okay, so now let's connect all the pieces, right? So number one, the greatest level of Dveikus comes from emulating Hashem. Okay, that's what we just saw. Have Domelo. Right? Number two, our speech, because it's animated, it's empowered by this breath of Hashem, this Chalek Elokai Mimal inside of me. So our speech is putting me in direct contact with my most godlike capacity, yeah, because my speech comes directly from this breath of Hashem. So therefore, three, we can then use our speech by definition is the greatest way that we have to emulate Hashem. Yeah, does that make sense? Greatest Dveikus is from emulating Hashem. Our speech is coming into direct contact with the breath of Hashem inside of me. So that when I use my speech properly, I have the potential, again, it's in potential. I have the potential to emulate Hashem to the greatest degree. Yeah, so now, is that clear? So,
yeah.
Going forward, everybody with me? Yeah?
Yeah. Yes.
Great. So now, what specifically is this godlike capacity that we're emulating? Okay, so I'm emulating Hashem. That's very nice. What is it exactly that I'm emulating, right? I imagine that's the question. So what is speech? And to answer that question, we have to really understand the dynamic. What is speech exactly? What is this idea of emulating Hashem through speech? So the answer is that speech is a form of creation. Right? And where do we see this? God creates the world through speech. Yeah? And I'll describe to you in a moment where we see that. So just as Hashem creates through speech, man has the capacity to also create through speech. Okay, so where do we see this? I mean, we see this in several places. In the beginning of Pesukei Dezimra, every morning, right? We say, Baruch She'amar V'haya Ha'olam. God spoke, and the world came into being, right? It says in Pirkei Avos, chapter 5, I'm not going to go through it right now, but that's where it lists the 10 utterances, right? That Hashem, so to speak, Kiviyachov, has these 10 sayings, and these 10 sayings is what brought the world into existence. Every time I say a bracha, right, which I'm going to do right now, because I've actually been talking for a long time, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Miyedi Baro. Ah, thank you. Hold on. So what is that saying? Shehakol Miyedi Baro, right, that through whose word all things come to be. So there's this powerful idea that, so to speak, Hashem speaks, and that speaking is what gives kiyum, is what gives existence to reality, to the world. I want to show you a very powerful source which brings this idea out very clearly. And again, for those of you who are in Rabbi Niven's Chabura, so one of the very first tools that he gives us is the tool of verbal introspection. And what I did is I went and I looked up the original Hebrew of the source that he translates in his verbal introspection unit. He translates it to English, and I looked up the source in Hebrew, and that's what you have in front of you. It's source number 2 from the Derech Eitz Chaim, the Ramchal. So I think I highlighted it for you. Yeah, look to the paragraph that starts with Hare. You with me? And go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines where it says Vizeh. Okay, so the Ramchal is going to describe for us exactly what we just said, this idea of how, so to speak, Hashem's word creates reality. The Ramchal says the following. Vizeh, ki kol ha-mintzayim midbaro shel ha-kadosh baruch hu na'asu mintza. Right? That all of created reality, all of reality is, I'm not going to translate this perfectly, but bear with me, that all of created reality is from midbaro, from the word, from the speech of Hashem. Right? Shehapeh hazeh hu hashorash l'kol ha-divrayim, right, that this mouth is the shorash, is the root of all created things, v'za atzmo mikayem otam, and this is what gives existence to everything, the hevel hayotzei min ha-peh hazeh, and the hevel, the vapor, the breath that comes forth from this mouth, rotzei lomar ha-hashpa'a hayotzet el kol ha-divrayim min ha-makor shehotzi otam. Okay, so what's this vapor, what's this breath that, so to speak, is coming out of Hashem's mouth? It's this hashpa'ah, this influence that comes out, right, to all of created things from the source that shehotziotam, that created, that brings them forth. So, again, that's a very tricky source, and I'm not going to attempt to explain it because, again, you would have to, I would certainly need to know a lot more Kabbalah, and I don't claim to know any Kabbalah in any real sense, but to just keep it pashut, the simple idea that the Ramchal is bringing out for us, and again, we don't believe that Hashem has a body, and of course we don't believe that Hashem has a mouth. So why is the Ramchal describing for us this idea of Hashem's mouth and this hashpa'ah, and why is he talking in this language? So anytime the Torah is speaking in a, so to speak, metaphorical, what's the word? I forget the word. It's slipping my mind. But when anthropomorphic, right? There we go. Thank you, Hashem. Speaking in an anthropomorphic type way, so of course we don't believe that Hashem has any form of body whatsoever, but it's obviously pointing to a koach, to something inside of ourselves. So when it's describing this hashpa that comes from the mouth of Hashem, and so to speak, Hashem is emitting this vapor, this breath, and that is what is giving reality to the world. So it must be that this is also pointing to a power that we have within ourselves. Okay, so how is that? Yeah, does that make sense? So to answer that question, I'm going to throw out another question, which is why does the Torah say that Hashem spoke the world into existence? Yeah. In other words, why not just say Hashem thought the world into existence, Hashem willed the world into existence? Anyone have any ideas why Dafka speech? Why Baruch Shamar the Hayah Olam?
Can you hear me?
Now with this, yeah, go ahead.
Well, because the letters, the Hebrew, the alphabet, the letters are actually the basis of the formation of the object. So there has to be...
Hold on to that thought. Don't go any further because I'm just about to go into that. But so great. You're totally on the mark. But a step before that. Great. Shirley, that was you?
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. You're right on. We're going to talk about that in about 30 seconds. But take it a step before that, right? Now, before, I'll give you a perfect muscle. Before you popped on, right, I threw out a question, and there was just air. There was just silence, right? All right, let's try it again. Don't answer me for a moment, okay? Okay, so ladies, why did Hashem speak the world into existence? Now, nobody say anything. It's really lonely being on this end. Yeah? Imagine, I mean, I just have this feeling right now of how Hashem must have felt when he created the world, and he, so to speak, speaks the world into existence, and there's nobody on the other side to answer back. You all hear that? Okay, now somebody say hello.
Hello.
Ah, I feel so much better. Thank you. Yochevet, that's you?
Yeah.
Now, what did Yochevet just do? Because you'll have it, right?
Yeah. I talk.
What did you just do by saying hello? What did you just create?
A connection.
Connection. You created a relationship. Right? Exactly. Perfect. Thank you. I couldn't have staged that better myself. So why did Hashem speak the world into existence? What is that telling us? It's telling us that from the outside, Hashem, it says, Baruch Shemar, Hashem spoke the world into existence because Hashem, from the very inception of the creation of the world, wants a relationship. Yeah? And so speech, by definition, implies relationship. So speaking the world into existence, Hashem is saying, I want a relationship with you. Could have said he thought the world, he ruled the world. That doesn't imply relationship. Speech implies relationship. Right? So Yochevet demonstrated that very nicely. Thank you. So now let's go into what Shuli just said. Yeah, so just like Hashem creates the world through speech, and Kivya and Hesech can also destroy the world through speech, we have the same capacity. We have the same power to create worlds through speech, right, or to destroy worlds, as we'll see, through speech. And we also have the same godlike capacity to create relationships through speech or destroy relationships through speech. And what it really comes down to is my free will. Am I going to use my speech to either A, activate, be most godlike capacity that I have inside of me, or am I going to use my speech to distort, to corrupt, to humiliate, to embarrass, you know, chaleva chale. Right? So at any point that we open our mouths and this breath of Hashem is about to come out of me, like, do I want to take this breath of Hashem and use it to put another human being down? Like, that's how I want to use the breath of Hashem? Yeah? Or do I want to use this breath of Hashem to build someone up, if we're going to come to see? So now I want to get to what Shuli said. How does our speech create worlds? We just said Hashem created the world through speech. How did that work? Yeah, so Hashem, now I'm going to speak from this shiur that I heard from Rabbi Chaimowitz. And again, if anyone wants a copy of the shiur, I'm happy to send it to you. He has a beautiful class called The Power of Speech, and he describes the following. He says, just as Shuli said, and I'm sorry, Shuli, for cutting you off, but just wanted to get there. Hashem created the world through Lashon HaKodesh, right? Now, again, this, what I'm about to describe to you, it doesn't work in English. It only works with the Hebrew letters. Why is that? So Rav Chaimowitz brings the Shlach HaKodesh, who says, and I'm going to try, again, I'm going to explain this, but just take away the simple idea, and let's try not to get too Kabbalistic here. Okay, but the Shlach HaKodesh says that every letter, right, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, right, all the way through Tav, it corresponds to a particular spiritual source level of existence. So what does that mean? That means when, for instance, take the word shulchan, right? Shin, vav, lamed, chet, nun, sofit. when I say the word shulchan, right, I'm not just using a descriptive noun. Like when I say table, so table is just, it's just some random arbitrary word. I don't know who thought it up, if it's based in Latin. I don't know where that comes from, right? But it's just a, it's a random word, table. Really, I think all languages ultimately, and I'm not a big bucky on this, but everything ultimately goes back to Hebrew, right? The table is simply a descriptive word. But when I say the word shulchan, right, I'm not just describing a table. I am literally accessing I'm drawing down from the root source, the energy, the spiritual energy that is bringing existence to this table by the power of the shin and the vav and the lamed and the chet and the nun and all of them combining together, yeah, is the essence of a table, right? So when we speak in Hebrew, when we speak in Lashon HaKodesh, we are literally, as Rav Heimlich explains, we're activating spiritual forces connecting to each letter. I'm going to show you how this becomes really relevant. Okay, Rav Spursky, my teacher, who I've quoted many times, he says, quote, Hebrew letters are the building blocks of reality. So let's not try to understand this too mystically, but let's think of how this becomes relevant, right? So again, before I go forward, I want to make this clear. Hebrew words do not describe an object. They activate reality. So now go back to the Ramchal that we just saw. So just as Hashem's breath is Mekayim, the existence of an object, when we speak, when we exhale this breath of God, we also have the potential through our breath, through our utterance of using the Hebrew letters to activate and influence reality. So where do we see this, right? And why don't we know this? Yeah, I mean, if I can somehow manipulate reality through my speech, through my talking, like why are we so utterly, completely cut off from this awesome, probably the most awesome godlike capacity that we have inside of ourselves, and it's totally lost to us? Yeah, so why is that? This is just too bizarre, right? So now I want to try to answer this question, okay? Let me see where I want to go from here. Right. What I want to answer now is the secret of this breath of Hashem, this hevel peh. Right. We said that Hashem has this hevel peh, this hashba'ah, and through this breath, he can create reality. So where does Hashem reveal to us, or where was it supposed to be revealed to us, the secret of this awesome power that we have inside of us? So now I want you to turn to source number 3. And when my husband and I came across this source, and again, it was total siyat d'shmaya that Hashem led us to this source. This is from a beautiful sefer called A Beginning with No End. It's called Breishis, A Beginning with No End. It's by a rabbi named Rabbi Pinchas Winston, who lives here in Eretz Yisrael. And it's just a beautiful sefer. I'm not sure if I put it on the recommended reading. If I didn't, you should definitely put it on your recommended reading list. And he just says the most unbelievable piece of Torah that I've ever seen in my whole life. So maybe one of the most. So go to the top of page 98. I think this is source number 3, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, source number 3. Okay. So what does Rev Winston say? He says the following. And what I'm answering, what I want to examine now is that this ability to manipulate and to create reality through speech was meant to be taught by Moshe Rabbeinu on 2 occasions to the Jewish people as a nation, and both times Moshe failed to give over this lesson. Now, what is this lesson that he's, again, I want to make this really clear, and I'm sorry if I'm being redundant. Just as Hashem creates the world and creates reality through speech, He bequeathed to the Jewish nation this same awesome godlike capacity that we have inside of us. Why do we have this awesome godlike capacity? Because we have the breath of Hashem inside of us, literally. Well, literally, I don't know how you can say literally, but whatever that means, kiviyachol, we have this halak elokai nimal, this breath of Hashem inside of us, and every time I speak and I'm emitting this hevel peh, this breath of Hashem from inside of me, so I too, we're going to see in a moment, have the capacity to change reality. Yeah, is that just like the most awesome thing you ever heard? So don't take my word for it. Let's read inside. Okay, he says the following, and I'll show you where he derives this from. There is a secret to transforming the mana. Okay, he's describing now, right, when the man fell from heaven, right, and they were supposed to, well, supposed to be a double portion. On Friday, they were supposed to, instead of having one portion, they were supposed to have two portions so that they wouldn't have to collect on Shabbos. Okay, so what happened? There is a secret to transforming the mana. The three words, lekavod, Shabbos, kodesh, for the honor of Shabbos, were to be said just prior to collecting the single omer. Okay, now listen to this. Had the Jewish people, prior to picking up the mana, uttered this simple declaration designating the daily portion to be in honor of the coming Shabbos, it would have doubled before their very eyes. You hear that? Saying, like we say, Friday night, or not Friday night, Friday day for my chicken soup Friday night. So I say, lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, over my soup. I don't put any, I never measure my spices. I never know how much salt or paprika I'm putting. I'm just shaking over the top of my soup, lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, lekavod Shabbos Kodesh. According to what Rob Winston is saying, my saying the word lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, I'm literally impacting, I'm changing the reality, I'm changing the molecules of my soup through my speech. Okay, let's go on. So had you said this simple declaration, lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, yeah, the mana, the double, the daily portions would have doubled before their very eyes. That experience would have definitely brought much greater joy than just collecting two portions, for it would have elevated the Jewish people out of the realm of physicality and into the realm of the supernatural. They would have accomplished a physical task through a spiritual means, speech. And he goes on to say, rising above nature is what it means to be a descendant of Abraham and therefore part of the Jewish nation. Yeah, and when I saw that, I just, like, it was just, I'd never heard anything. Like, where is he getting this from? So go to the footnote at the bottom, right? Darshaning from the word where it says this is borne out, right, from the difference in the translation of the word, the hechinu. Right? So what does it mean, the hechinu? The hechinu means to prepare. So go to the next source sheet. And I'm going to just share with you a couple sources quickly. Okay, first, right, this is source number 4 from Talmud Bavli, Maseches Beitza. Okay, and basically here, the Gemara, I'm not so interested in the Gemara itself. I'm much more interested in Rashi's comment on the Gemara, but I'll just read it quickly in the English. Rabbi said, why is it written, and it will be on the sixth day, right, again, he's commenting on this verse, when they will prepare the hechinu, and they will prepare what they bring. Okay, and then he says, to teach, one may prepare from the weekday for Shabbos and from the weekday from Yom Tov. Now he's giving a halachic discussion. So for our purposes right now, that's not so relevant. But go down to Rashi. What does Rashi say? Prepare, for example, from this I will eat tomorrow. Okay? Now keep going with me, and then I'll explain what this means. Okay? If this verse was speaking about preparation that involves action, literally with one's hands, and teaching that they should bake and cook before Shabbos. Like, what does it mean, the hechinu? They should prepare for Shabbos. So Rashi's saying, if it's talking about physical action, they need to bake and they need to cook and they need to teaching us that they have to, you know, do certain physical activities before Shabbos commences, this is problematic because another verse states explicitly in Exodus, right, et asher ta'afu, afu, right, tomorrow is a rest day, holy Shabbos, bake what you wish to bake. Right, so he's saying that if hechinu meant to do a physical act with your hands, so it wouldn't need to say later this idea of you shall bake, right? Rather, our verse is teaching about preparation that is with one's mouth. Okay, and this idea of hechinu is also very similar to this idea of a hezminu. If you remember, right, it says in the Siddur, a hezminu, that's pi, lahodos, lahalel, I am now preparing my mouth to thank, praise, and laud my Creator, hulei v'hulei. Right, so what is this hechinu, his minu idea? So now go down to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so now go down to the Mishnah Berurah. Yes, I'm so happy you have my cell phone number. So again, what is this? Just because I lost my train of thought, let's go back for a moment. We're commenting on what is this idea of the hechinu has, that our speech somehow has this ability to manipulate reality. So again, I'm not going through Rob Winston's whole thought process of how he arrived at this and the sources that he used, and you'd have to look up, you know, many more sources, but I just picked out a couple to show you where he's getting this from. This idea of what does it mean to hefinu, right? So Rashi said it can't mean that we're preparing with our hands, because it already told us that. So it must be that rather a verse of teaching about preparation that is this one's mouth. So there's some form of preparation that the Jewish people were meant to do with their mouth, right? And that we continue to do, that the Shulchan Aruch brings out this halacha. And the Mishnah Berurah commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, I just want to read this Hebrew, the last sentence on the bottom, the Tov. He says, V'tov shiyomar akol devar shekone zehu lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, ki hadidah hu po'ol harbe b'kedusha. Okay, now that sounds like a very nebulous statement. And let me just translate that. And it's good to say on everything that we buy, lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, because Dibor, speech, activates greatly the Kedusha, right, in holiness. So now, so again, you know, when I'm at the grocery store and I'm saying, well, Kavod Shabbos Kodesh on my fish, on my chicken, on whatever I'm buying, so I always thought that's a nice way to, okay, Hashem fits the bill. If I say, well, Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, and then hopefully my Hashdan will not be so much at the end, or if it is, he gives it back to me. But the source of Rav Winston, and what I wanted to just show you a little bit of where he's getting this from, is this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to teach to his people this unbelievable secret, that by saying Lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, that their speech would have made the man, would have taken a physical entity, this man, and it would have doubled before their eyes. Okay, now the man itself, the fact that man fell from heaven was already an incredible miracle, but imagine you say Lekavod Shabbos Kodesh on your chicken, and poof, the chicken, you know, all of a sudden you have two chickens in front of you, right? That would be really cool, yeah? Now, there's two ways to look at such a thing. You could either say, wow, like, Hashem, that's incredible. Like, I have the most unbelievable koach inside of me that you put into me through this breath of Hashem that I can say the phrase, Lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, and my chicken can literally double before my eyes. That's unbelievable. And it would engender an incredible feeling of closeness, right? Because Hashem, you've empowered me in such an unbelievable way, right? That's one way to take it. Or you could obviously go to the other extreme and just become very arrogant and think, you know, I'm God, right? You know, I can change, you know, I mean, then that was the place that Bilam took it to, right? You have Moshe Rabbeinu and you have Bilam. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the humblest of all men, and he was able to take his power of speech, right? And you see, through the example of Moshe Rabbeinu, like in all of Sefer Devarim, and I'm skipping a little bit, but this idea of the very end, right before Moshe dies, and he's speaking out Sefer Devarim, and if you look at Sefer Devarim, it's all written in the first person. So what is that saying? That Moshe has refined himself to such a high degree. He had reached such a level of another that Hashem could literally speak through him, and Moshe could continue speaking in the first person while Hashem was using him as a mouthpiece. Yeah, I mean, that's something to strive towards, to be in such a level of humility that Hashem can literally speak through you and use you as a mouthpiece, and you can still speak in the first person and not become arrogant, which, of course, Bilam was the example from the other side. Yeah? So that was the first time that Moshe was meant to teach us, and this was right before Matan Torah, and if I had more time, I would explain to you how, had he taught over this lesson, our whole experience of how Sinai would have been different, right? And if you want to hear about that, so listen to Rabbi Kahn's tape, Redemption Through Speech, because he speaks that out very beautifully. But again, because he did not, and the reason he did not is also another long, it's just so much to this idea. He became angry, he became frustrated, he forgot some of the halachas because he became frustrated, right? And this lesson did not get taught, and he was supposed to teach it before Matan Torah. Now, there's a second time, and this just, again, happened, quote-unquote happened, to coincide beautifully with this week's Parsha, right? That's the parsha that we're in right now, Chukas. And now it's a whole new generation, and it's well, now Hashem is giving Moshe one more chance. You have to teach teach the Jewish nation the sukkah before they enter into the land. Yeah, we're just on the brink of entering into, of conquering Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe, you didn't teach them the lesson before Matan Torah. You did not teach them this power of the covered Shabbos Kodesh to affect reality. I'm giving you another chance. I want you to teach the nation the power of speech to change reality. So where do we see this, right? And it's very clear, right? In Parsha Chukos from this week's Parsha. I'll just read the English quickly, right at the top. What source am I on now? Source number 5. Okay? So we're all familiar with this story. Moshe took the staff from before Hashem as he had commanded him. Moshe and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock, and he said to them, "Listen now, O rebels, shall we bring forth water from you from this rock?" And then Moshe raised his arm and struck the rock with his staff twice. Abundant waters came forth, and the assembly and their animals drank. Hashem said to Moshe and to Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you will not bring this congregation to the land that I have given them." Now, actually, what I neglected, I apologize, to copy for you is the verses right before that where Hashem commands Moshe, "I want you to speak to the rock." Okay? So the initial tzivui was speak to this particular rock. And in so doing, as you speak to this rock, you say, "Rock, give forth water." And your speech will then activate the rock to give forth water. And the whole nation will not just, the whole purpose of Moshe speaking to the rock was not just to see, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu as some kind of superman. Wow, ooh, look at Moshe. He speaks and water comes out of the rock. But more importantly, it was to teach the whole nation, we all have this capacity. You think I'm the only one that has this capacity? We all have this godlike capacity to change nature through speech. But what happened? The people start fetching, they start complaining, they start whining. Oh, it is too much, we're going to die. Why did you bring us here? And as we, you know, again, far be it for me to condemn Moshe Rabbeinu in any way. And instead of me doing it, I'm going to let the Fiduciarim say it. But suffice to say, Moshe lost it and got frustrated, and instead of speaking to the rock, and he, you know, was trying to speak to a lot of different rocks and couldn't find the right rock, and, you know, again, we can all relate to this. We're trying to do something. We have a certain task at hand. We have a certain mission. We're trying to get whatever it is done, and things get in our way, and we're trying to put our kids to sleep, and they won't go to sleep, or, you know, blah, 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 and we get frustrated, and we get, boom. You know, I hope this, I just, yeah, the example I can think of is there's this cat that sits in front of my door, and he just won't leave my door. He makes me crazy, this little cat, and every time I come out, and he's, like, biting at my leg, and he's, like, and I just want to, you know, and sometimes I'll be honest, I kick this cat, get out of here. You know, and he's making me crazy. And I see Hashem is testing my needles just with this cat because I just keep wanting to, like, kick him away. I'm sorry to say I'm not perfect and at least, you know, I should get up right now. I have to be nice to this little cat. And obviously the fact that the cat hasn't gone away is Hashem's way of saying I still need to work on myself to not kick this cat. I don't hurt the cat. I try to gently move him away with my foot. Let's not, you know, get too down on myself. But anyway, but I can understand this feeling of, you know, you're frustrated and you just lash out, right? So what does the Chiddush HaRim say? The Chiddush HaRim was the first care ready. Please don't think less of me because I pushed this cat away with my foot. I try not to be too violent about it. But anyway, so the Chiddush HaRim says the following. He says, the Chiddush HaRim finds the key, go down to the gray below. Finds the key to the shortcoming of Moshe and Aaron in the word Le'enehem, before their eyes, implying that Moshe had to speak to the rock in such a way that the people would see something rather than merely know it. Similarly, at the transcendental revelation at Sinai, the sages say that the nation saw what is normally only heard, meaning that their understanding of the experience went beyond the normal limitations of human physicality. Right? Again, this idea that we saw from Winston, like they became mired in physicality. Here, too, God wanted Israel to see, meaning that they should have unquestioned knowledge that God provides people with whatever they need to carry out his bidding. If they could achieve that perception, the barriers to belief would fall away and the nation would rise to new heights. The water flowed, but Moshe failed to inculcate them with this perception. Okay, again, the barriers to belief would fall away and the nation would rise to new heights. And to connect that again to what Rev Winston said, right? Rising above nature is what it means to be a descendant of Abraham and therefore part of the Jewish nation. So on two occasions, and again, I'm not coming to criticize Moshe Chas V'Shalom, but I want to point out is that on two occasions, one was right before the revelation of Har Sinai, right? Moshe was meant to teach over this lesson of Lekavod Shabbos Kodesh V'Heichinu, that by speaking, right, by speaking this phrase, Lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, the man would have literally doubled before their eyes, but he did not teach this lesson. And then again, the next generation, they're about to come into the land, and Hashem basically is saying to Moshe, you have to teach this lesson. The nation cannot go into Eretz Yisrael without knowing this lesson of the power of speech, that you speak to the rock, and the rock will give forth water, right? And again, it wasn't just to point to Moshe and to Moshe's awesome potential and awesome koach to speak and change reality, but to really point to the Jewish nation, you know what, we all, and I want to show you now, is we all, even today, we all have this capacity to change and manipulate reality through speech. And the next verse I'm actually going to just skip for time's sake, but you can look at it on your own. Again, it's another piece from Rob Winston, where he's just talking again about the incredible power of speech and its ability to lift us up above nature. Now, so going forward, yeah, so just as Hashem creates physical reality through speech, so too, Am Yisrael, we were meant to be shown the same ability to, in a supernatural way, to manipulate reality through speech. But because Moshe didn't teach these lessons on these two occasions, so we lost touch with this ability to affect physicality. At least as a nation, we lost touch with it. This lesson was not taught to the Jewish people as a nation, but the good news is we can still connect to this power to change reality as individuals. So what does that mean? And to the degree that we plug into this, and if you are really real with this idea going forward, and the more you share this and the more you internalize this, as individuals, and the more we affect one another by sharing this information, again, we'll, as a nation, come to rediscover this power. So how do we connect to this power as individuals? So Rav Pinchas also gave a beautiful shiur on this on Bitachon, where he's describing this idea of, say you go to a wedding, right? Last night, we were at your husband and I, Rav Niven's daughter's wedding. And he says, you go to a wedding, and you say to the husband, to the caller, to the mother, to the father, to the bride, you say, mazel tov. Right? Now, as Pinchas points out, when you say mazel tov at a wedding, you're not just saying, you know, good luck. In fact, good luck is the total opposite of what you're saying. What does it mean, mazel tov? Mazel tov means, mazal comes from the word mizilah, which means a flow. You're blessing the couple that there should be a flow of blessing. There should be a good flow of blessing, right? So as Rav Pinchas points out, when you say mazel tov, you're not just saying, you know, have a nice life. You literally go back to what you said, Rav Heimowitz says. You're uttering the words mem, zion, lamed, right? Tet, vav, beis. And you're activating, you're bringing down the spiritual forces that are connected to these letters, and you're literally activating the spiritual reality of mazal tov. You through your speech are creating a mazal tov. Yeah? For an example, I'll give you another example. You say to someone, refuah shlema. Right? So up until now, you know, you might have just thought, okay, you know, I'm a nice person, I have manners, you know, somebody's sick, you say refuah shlema. But no, when you say refuah shlema, again, you're activating the spiritual kohos. You're plugging into the spiritual energies and forces of resh, pei, vav, aleph, hey, shin, lamed, mem, hey, and you're drawing down the spiritual energies of refuah shlema. You're literally drawing down these energies onto the whoever it is you're saying refuah shlema to. So, go ahead. Someone have a question?
Yeah, Shoshana. So does that apply then only to the Lashon Kodesh? as opposed to English?
So yeah, in Hebrew. It doesn't work in English. The world is created with Hebrew letters.
Okay, so if you want to create something, so to speak, with your speech, it only works if you're doing it in Hebrew then.
That's what Rav Chaim Lotz when he was quoting the Shlach HaKodesh. This ability of letters and speech to draw down these spiritual forces, it's through Hebrew letters. Which is not to say that, you know, you give someone a bracha in English, you know, you're not doing something, but you're not affecting reality to the same degree as when you're doing it in Hebrew.
Okay.
Yeah? So now we can ask a question, right? So say, you know, my son had strep throat this week, and I was saying Refuah Shleima all over the place, right? But my saying Refuah Shleima did not make my son instantly healthy, right? So I just said, you know, if I say Refuah Shleima, so I'm activating the spiritual forces of Resh, Tei, Vav, right, Aleph, Hey, Chulei V'Chulei, and I'm going to change reality, and poof, my son is going to have a Refuah Shleima. So why wasn't he instantly healthy? Yeah? Anyone have any ideas for that? So the key is that to access this power, it only works with one who has pure speech. Now, why doesn't this always work? So now let's bring it all the way back to Amir Raka, what we said last week, right? That if you want to be able to access this power, which we do still have inside of us, anyone who is part of Klal Yisrael, even though we didn't learn this lesson as a nation, but we still do contain this breath of Hashem inside of us, we still do have this koach inside of us. But if you want this koach to work, your speech has to come from a pure, soulful place, right? And so go bring it back all the way to what we said last week, the difference between soulful speech and body speech, and what is Amira Raka? So we brought up the idea of Amira Raka in terms of drawing out your soul, right? But guess what? The same rules of Amira Raka, right, to speak gently and to speak simply, and to repeat, and to, you know, speak to your soul as a parent to a child, or as two lovers, you know, trying to draw one another out, right? That's not just for drawing out our soul, but that is for drawing out anybody in our lives, right? If we want to draw out our children, we want to draw out our husbands, we want to draw out, you know, anyone that we're trying to have a relationship with. So again, it has to be done with a Mira Raka. It has to be done with this Lashon Kala, right? With this, I forget the Lashon of Rashi, I don't have it in front of me, but with this soft, gentle speech, right? Just like it works with our soul, it works with all of our relationships. Remember the source I brought you from Rav Schechter a couple of weeks ago, right? That when you speak to somebody with humility, so then they'll answer you back with humility. But if you speak to someone in an arrogant, controlling way, you know, go to sleep right now, right? So your kids are going to react in a very defiant way back. They're going to reflect however you speak to them. So if you want your speech to have this awesome power, not just, you know, to improve the relationships, but to literally, when I say Refuah Shleima, it actually affects something. It actually makes an impact on something. So the only way my speech can do that is if I'm working on my speech, if I'm working on my speech to be coming from this pure, Amira Raka, gentle, soulful place. So where do we see this? Right? There's a famous quote from Chazal. It says the following. So Kadosh Baruch Hu goes there, that tzaddik mevatel, right? The Hashem decrees and the tzaddik nullifies. And it also says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaTzadik Dozer, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, right? And the Tzadik decrees, and Hashem is Mekayim, right? So how does this work? How does the Tzadik have this ability that what Hashem decrees, the Tzadik can be Mevato, can nullify, and what the Tzadik decrees, Hashem, Kiviyachal, has to comply with whatever the Tzadik says? Because, again, the tzaddik is one who knows how to use his speech properly. Now, you cannot access his power to change reality if you use your words arbitrarily. Another way of saying it is if you want Hashem to take your speech seriously, you have to take your speech seriously. So if I'm going around all day, you know, yelling at the cat, or yelling at my children, or yelling at my husband or at my neighbors, or, you know, I'm speaking with this lush and cachet, or I'm complaining, or I'm, you know, I'm just debasing my speech through just, you know, using it in a very physical body, me, go back to the ego, self-interested, you know, selfish way, then when I want to say something good, or I want to pray, I want to daven, I want to say a bracha, I want to have an impact on the world, my speech is completely, it doesn't have the power. It doesn't have the power because, if I want Hashem to take my speech seriously, I have to take my speech seriously. And I just want to point you, we're getting towards the end here. What time is it? Okay, and hopefully, I think I'm going to actually finish this in an hour and a half, maybe 5 minutes over. There is a beautiful source which brings this out from Parshas Matos, which we're going to get to, I think, in about 3 weeks' time. And this is a source, again, that Rav Heimowitz pointed me to. Am I still on the phone? I didn't get knocked out?
Yeah, you're good.
Good? Okay, great. This is a piece of Torah from Levi Yitzchak Mederditches, right? Otherwise known as the Kedushas HaLevi. And as Rav Weinberger points out, if you've ever heard Rav Weinberger give over any stories in the name of the Kedushas HaLevi, he says anytime you say over a Torah in the name of the Kedushas HaLevi, it brings Yeshua, it brings salvation. So anyone has need the Yeshua, so we're going to now, hopefully, Hashem should make my words be effective. And in saying this Torah over in the name of the Kedushas HaLevi, it should bring whatever Yeshua's we need. Okay, see what I mean. Now, what does Rav Levi Yitzchak Mederditches have to say? So he's commenting on Parshas Matos, and go to where I put the brackets, the whole idea of saying a neder and all the laws of making the darim, making vows, etc. So go to where it says, I'm going to read the Hebrew and translate, Lo Yachal. Okay, you see where I am? Parshas Matos. Lo, okay, let me get my glasses. Lo Yachal Devaro Mikol Hayotze Mipiv Ya'aseh. Okay, what is the English? If a, let me just find it. Okay, if a man makes a vow to Hashem or swears an oath to establish a prohibition upon himself, okay, here's the part that's underlined, he shall not desecrate his word. According to whatever comes from his mouth, shall he do. Okay, again, lo yachal, he shall not make vain his words. And everything that comes from his mouth, ya'aseh, he shall do. So the Kedushas HaLevi is asking a question. It seems that the Torah is being redundant. Isn't that basically saying the same thing? Like, don't make vain your words. And whatever you say, you should do. Right? That seems to be redundant. And again, nothing in the Torah is redundant. So how does the Kedushas HaLevi read the pasuk, right? And just follow along with me. Read it like this. He says, Lo yachal devaro, right? One who does not make vain his words, right? The kol hayotze mipiv, and everything that comes out of his mouth, he will do. Ya'aseh, with a capital H. Yeah? So what is the Kedushas HaLevi saying? One who does not make vain his words, right? He does not make his words empty. He does not make his words be meaningless. Then whatever comes out of his mouth, ya'aseh, read it as he will do with a capital H, Hashem will then fulfill whatever comes out of his mouth. Isn't that beautiful? Again, thank you, Rav Heimowitz, for pointing that out. I just thought that was, yeah, do you get it?
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, whatever comes out of his mouth, ya'aseh, he will do, Hashem will do. Yeah, and there's a beautiful idea Rav Weinberger also brings in the name of the Reshus Chochma, so it's the same thing. Right, the Reshus Chochma says, that, again, I'm just paraphrasing Rav Weinberger, that to the degree that a person is makadesh his mouth to say good things and avoid lashon hara, all his tefillos are makabel, and he'll be able to see his tefillos work. He'll see Yeshuos from his tefillos, and the name of the Reshus Chochma says, Polo Yeshuos, right? His tefillos become activated. His tefillos are polo, bring salvation. So again, it's saying the same idea of the Kedushas HaLevi, that one who is careful with his speech and is careful to say good things and is careful to avoid lashon hara or any form of yelling or humiliating or any of the myriad of things that we can do to destroy a person, to to our speech. If you're careful with your speech, right, so then what? So then all your tefillos, then when you're praying in English, you know, again, it doesn't have to be, the Hebrew is that it's going to activate the source reality, you know, for whatever it is you're saying. But if I use my speech carefully, then when I'm talking to Hashem in my personal prayer time or I'm davening Shemona Esrei, and, you know, there definitely is, if you have the ability to daven in Hebrew. So it's again, this whole idea, when we're davening in Hebrew and we're saying, Baruch Atah, we're not just describing something, but we are literally bringing down the energies of base, reish, right, you get the idea. And that in order for your prayers, for your brachas, for everything to have effect and to have this hashpa, so we have to be one who takes our speech seriously. Yeah? That makes sense? I just thought that was like so powerful. That when, what is it saying? That if you care, Hashem cares. If I care about what I'm saying and how I say it, then Hashem cares about what I'm saying. If I'm careful with my speech on a physical level, right, the way I speak to my husband, the way I speak to my children, the way I speak to my neighbor, to my friends, to my tenants, right, which is a whole misfire that I've been dealing with for months. I'd never be a landlord. It's not good for your meetings, right? But anyone, you know, you have to have a confrontational conversation with someone, right? So again, use the tool of Yosef Asadi. Before you have to speak to the person, say, please, Hashem, help my words come from a pure place. Help me to speak to this person in just the right way. Help me to activate, you know, whatever, a closeness in the relationship. And then after you, hopefully the quote-unquote confrontational conversation goes well, thank you, Hashem. Thank you so much for helping me say this in just the right way. And when we do that and we take our speech seriously, then Hashem takes note on a spiritual level. And then our brachas are more effective. And then when my son has strep throat and I say refuah shleima, I really can affect something. If I do take my speech seriously and I'm careful all week to not yell, then all of a sudden my words can make an impact. Because again, Hashem created us with this Hevel Peh, with this Nishmas Chaim, with this breath of Hashem that we have inside of us. We can, to this day, each and every one of us, affect reality. Yeah, it's what you see with the Refuah Shleima is a good example. Mazel Tov, the covered Shabbos Kodesh, right? When you're saying we'll cover Shabbos Kodesh over your chicken soup, you have the ability to affect your chicken soup. Your chicken soup will taste better. Why? But again, whether or not your chicken soup tastes better depends on how you interacted with your family in the morning. Right? If my kids come home from school and I'm screaming at my children, then when I say we'll cover Shabbos Kodesh over my soup, it's not going to do anything. Not going to have any effect whatsoever on my soup. Yeah? I wanted to finish with a beautiful description from Chavos Avavos. I'm not sure if I scanned it or not. Did I scan for you the Chavos Avavos, page 205? Do you have it? If not, so anyone who has a copy of Chavos Avavos, I'm reading from page 205, let me just find it. And he just gives a beautiful description of what we're saying in this power of speech. I just thought it was so poetic. I wanted to share it with you. He says, reflect. He says, reflect further on the good which God has bestowed on man by granting him speech and coherence of language. Through speech, you can express what is in his soul and innermost self and can communicate with others. And the next sentence is one of these, you know, Rabban Ibn would say refrigerator statements. I just thought this was so poetic. He says, the tongue is the heart's pen and the mind messenger. Isn't that beautiful? Put that on your door. The tongue is the heart's pen and the mind messenger. Without speech, a man would have no social relationship with his fellow and would live in solitary life of an animal. Through speech, it becomes apparent that one man is superior to another. Right, again, go back to the Rav Schechter quote that we saw about, you know, humble speech brings humility and arrogant speech breeds arrogance. Through speech, bonds of friendship are formed among men. Covenants are made between God and his servants. Through speech, a man turns from his mistaken path and seeks atonement for his sins. The way a man speaks is the best proof of his worthiness or unworthiness. That also underlined that. The way a man speaks is the best proof of his worthiness or unworthiness. It has been said that a man, in essence, is his heart and tongue. speech is the defining element of a human being, for a man is defined as, again, this is a quote from a book, a living, speaking, and mortal being. It is speech that distinguishes man from beast. Yeah. So now, to conclude, as women, I want to just bring all this back to our role as wives, as mothers, as women in our community, right? So there's certainly an idea that women were given an extra measure of speech. Yeah. Now, this can be to our great advantage, and this can also be to our great detriment, right? But taking into account everything that we said tonight, right, why did Hashem give women specifically an extra measure of speech? Because as women, we have an extra measure of responsibility to use our speech properly. Because why? It's obvious. We're the ones building the home. So go back to everything you said with relationship and creating worlds and creating relationships. And Hashem created the world through speech because he wanted to show and indicate the importance that from the outset he wanted to have a relationship with us. So as wives and mothers, as being the ones responsible for creating our homes and for creating, building up our husbands and building up our children, we have to use our speech properly. Yeah? And just like, you know, the way we speak and communicate with our loved ones, we can create them or we can destroy them, right? Like my daughter, for instance, is working now on her English. And, you know, so she's reading a book to us in English a little while ago. So I just said something very simple, like, wow, Hanaroha, you read that so nicely. That was so great. Now, Baruch Hashem, I hopped in a moment, and I could tell just from, you know, her expression on her face, she was so happy. I built her up in that moment. I created her self-esteem by just simply saying, wow, you read so beautifully. Now, I also could have, you know, she'd say, Ema, I want to read to you. I can't right now. I'm busy. Leave me alone. Right? Now, in that moment, my speech, I just destroyed my daughter. I literally destroyed her. Now, Ema doesn't have time to just sit and listen to me to read for, like, 2 minutes. Right? So our speech as wives, as mothers, as women, we're given this extra measure because we're given this extra responsibility to use our speech properly. And I want to just conclude again with a beautiful quote from Rav Soloveitchik, where he says this so beautifully. This is from an essay called The Community. And he's just going to basically describe what I just said, but in much nicer words. So go to your last source on your source sheet. It says, quote, quite often a man finds himself in a crowd among strangers. He feels lonely. No one cares for him. No one is concerned with him. It is, again, an existential experience. He begins to doubt his ontological worth. This leads to alienation from the crowd surrounding him. Suddenly, someone taps him on the shoulder and says, aren't you Mr. So-and-so? I've heard so much about you. In a fraction of a second, his awareness changes. An alien being turned into a member of an existential community. What brought about the change? The recognition by someone. The word. Yeah, what a beautiful quote. I don't know if anyone's ever seen the YouTube video validation. You ever see that? If you want, you can Google YouTube and look up validation. It's just such a cute, 10-minute video, but it's talking all about this power of validating another human being and how this guy literally creates this world revolution because he starts out as this parking attendant and everyone who comes, you know, to get a parking ticket, and he just says, wow. You look so nice today. We can't really do that in a firm setting, but he says to this guy, you know, that's a great suit you wear. You have to see it. It's very cute. But the idea is, you know, again, we can build someone up to our speech or we can destroy someone with our speech. So I want to just conclude, because I've gone 5 minutes over time, that... Let's just summarize, right? When we use our gift of speech properly, we are accessing and activating our most godlike quality, right? Go back to what we said at the very beginning, right, from the Nefesh HaChaim, we are coming in direct contact with our soul, right, with this Chelek Elokai Mimal, with this breath of God. So what does this have to do with Hamtaka, right? Why is this so sweet? Why is this such a unifying, perfecting, you know, catapult me forward in such an unbelievably powerful way, because this is sweet, right? That in, when I'm, go back to what we said at the beginning, when I'm emulating Hashem, when I am, what does it mean that I'm emulating Hashem? So I also have the ability to create and affect reality. Just as Hashem creates the world through speech, I can also create reality through speech, right? Before Shlema, Mazal Tov, Yakovi Travis Kodesh, I have the same godlike capacity built within me. Right? It was blown into me. Adam was blown into Adam, but he's blown, it's continuously, right? Every moment we say Hashem recreates the world and recreates each human being. Right? So that's one. Two, we can build relationships. Again, just as God created the world through speech to indicate his desire for relationships, we too can build and create relationships through the way we use our speech. Yeah? And three, we attain the highest level of Zekis when we use our speech properly. How they done it though, right? When we use our speech in the right way, when I speak in a, with an Amira Raka and I'm speaking, you know, to whoever that is in my life with gentleness and with love and with simplicity, yeah, then my speech, by definition, is going to have more power. So that when I do stand it in my Shemona Atzeret, and I do daven, and I do say brachas, my brachas have more power. My davening has more power. My saying to someone before Shlema has more power. But as we saw in the Kedushas HaLevi, right, and what the Rosh Chochma brought out, I can only access that power to the degree that I take my speech seriously. If I take my speech seriously, then Hashem takes my speech seriously. And the highest level of debate is when we can see this. If I could say a couple of Shabbos Kodesh and my chicken would like multiply and double before my eyes, right? So what is Hashem saying? He's saying, I want you to be my partner. Right? I didn't go through it because I just, this class could go on for hours if I brought you all of these sources, but at the very, very beginning of Bereishis, right, Hashem says to Adam, name the animals. I don't want to go through the whole Indian right now, but in essence, Hashem is saying to Adam, I want you to be my partner in creation. I want you to name the animals, right? I want you to identify the source, roots, essence of these animals by plugging into and giving them a name. So Hashem was saying to Adam, I want you to be my partner in creation. And he's saying to each and every one of us, I want you to be my partner. Right? We're not just supposed to be passive. You know, if Hashem wanted to create the world perfect, he could have created the world perfect. It is perfect. It's perfect in its imperfection. Does that make sense? That God created the world imperfect, and that is its perfection, that it's imperfect. Why? Because he wants us to perfect it. He created us to be his partners in perfecting the world, in perfecting creation, and bringing redemption. If we could just get this message out there that our speech has such unbelievable atomic capacity to change lives and to change reality, and that in so doing we resemble Hashem to the highest degree possible, this could bring to Ula. I'm 100% convinced. I just want to finish with one more idea and go back to my favorite pasuk, Yisiyashem Lanegi Tamid. I haven't seen a source for this yet, but maybe someday Hashem will reveal one to me. But again, we said the Shivisi Leshem Hishtavus, and we showed how, you know, Hishtavus is this idea of nullifying the ego, and we also saw how Hishtavus is going into this quiet, calm, centered place, and it hit me, like, you know what, Shivisi, like, it has to have something to do with Hamtaka also. Somehow this Shivisi word has to connect with this whole idea that I've been describing. And it occurs to me, you know, again, this root Sheveh, Shin Vav Hey, so it means equal, but when I looked it up, it also gave the definition of resemble. Yeah? So you could also think of Shivisi, right, that in resembling, when I make an effort to resemble Hashem, again, I can never be equal to Hashem. That becomes like Bilam, that becomes Davidic. Hashem says, you know, I don't want you to think you're God, but I do want you to think you're God-like, right? So that when I resemble Hashem, Shivisi, so again, Hashem l'negi tamid, Right? Every time I make an attempt to emulate Hashem, and the greatest capacity that we have to do this is by the way we speak, she speaks, and resembling Hashem, and so doing, Hashem l'negdi tamid. I can again have this tremendous devekus of habei damalo, of Hashem, of resembling Hashem, and having this gold devekus that comes from being godlike. And I want to just conclude with Rav Heimowitz's words that he says in this tape, and I just thought this was so beautiful in his share. He says, in giving us his greatest of gifts, it's as if Hashem is saying, I love you so much that I'll let you do a little bit of what I do. Isn't that gorgeous? I'm going to say that one more time. I love you. Hashem is saying, I love you so much that I'll let you do a little bit of what I do. So, thank you for indulging me. And I want to just really, really help us to internalize this idea that if we can just speak more with this Amira Raka, and we can really plug into the sweetness of speech and really plug into the power that we have inside of us. And the more that I take my speech seriously, the more Hashem will take my speech seriously. And he's saying, I love you so much, I'll let you do a little bit of what I do, that Hashem wants us to be his partner in creation and redemption. And the Zrat Hashem, if we really plug into this in a serious way, we can God willing, we can bring Gula. I really believe that. Okay, I'm going to turn off the tape. If anyone wants to ask a question, please feel free. Hold on.